Bow our heads in prayer. Holy God, grant this day your word will be preached, and your presence be made known, and your way followed, in Jesus' name. Amen. Good morning. We're going to start during this Pentecost season in the epistle, which is from Galatians, and for the next 5 weeks, we'll be working on Galatians, and I would encourage you to read through Galatians. It's a very short book. And once you do that, then on a daily basis, have it somehow available that you could just open it up and start reading any place until you find some inspiration and insight, because it's just full of so much good stuff. And I will be bold enough to say that the book of Galatians is the most important book in the entire Bible. And that is because it deals specifically with grace, and no other book comes close to that. And the fact that we are saved by grace, we better know what it is that saves us. So I want to talk a little bit about the background of Galatians and about the scripture, and then I want to talk of the meaning it has for us. Paul starts off with Galatians saying, I want you to know that the gospel that was proclaimed by me is not of human origin. That was so critical for him because, see, he did his ministry away from Jerusalem, and he had that conversion experience, and then he began working in the, if you would, the outer parts, outer regions, and he went to the synagogues, and he fought with the Jewish people, and he finally said, I'm just going to go to the Gentiles. And he began working with the Gentiles, and he got them spirit-filled and got them baptized, but the community out in Jerusalem were what you call Jewish Christians. They had been through the law, they'd been through circumcision, and they didn't think you could possibly be a Christian without going through all that. So they sent their parties up to Galatia. Now, Galatia was an area, it's not a city. And they began talking to these new Christians who were spirit-filled and just full of love. And they said, all right, now if you really want to become a real Christian, you've got to start following the law and you've got to be circumcised. And Paul was furious. He called them foolish Galatians. Who has seduced you into this kind of thinking? Because that's not what saved. The law doesn't save us. We are saved by grace. And so what was happening there, you see, is to understand Paul's conflict in Galatia, but you have to also get a feel for what was happening out there in with the apostles in Jerusalem. We don't know very much about what the apostles did or what was going on, so you have to sort of just kind of figure it out by connecting your own dots. But it goes all the way back to that first chapter of Acts. You see, Jesus had been with these apostles. He'd been teaching them for 3 years, died, rose again, and for 40 days he was with them. And the last question they asked him before he ascended is, will you now restore the kingdom to Israel? And Jesus must have said something like, oh my God. You see, because they were still looking for that physical kingdom. And they were so sure that he was the Messiah by the resurrection, it could prove to everybody he was the Messiah, and he would have the power of God, and he would get those 5,000 people he had in the wilderness and 5,000 here and there, and they would do an insurrection, and they would throw Rome out, all the authority and soldiers and everything, and he would defeat all the enemies. He would then put out the borders to the size where David was. He would restore peace and prosperity to the kingdom, and it would be forever. And so they were looking at Jesus, and all of a sudden he ascends up to heaven. And so that should have been a sign. But what's the first thing that they did? This is critical. What was the first thing they did when they got back to the house after the ascension during that 10-day period before the Spirit came upon them? Jesus had said this. He said, they said, will you do it now? He said, listen, it's not up to you to know the time or the season, but you shall receive power after the Holy Spirit has come upon you to be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the ends of the world. The first thing they did when they got back to that house before the Pentecost experience is they said, all right, now the kingdom's coming, and that's good, and we are going to be head of all the 12 tribes. And, of course, the problem is we only got 11 guys. So we got to get one more. Let's see, who will we take? Well, let's get two of our friends here, and both of them have seen the resurrection. And so, all right, God, here are two people. Which do you want? And so they drew lots, and they got Matthias. And so Matthias became the 12th apostle. Now, this is an important question, and you have got to discover this. I can say it to you, but you have got to discover this. Is why was the early church persecuted? The first persecution came by the Jews. They started persecuting Christians. Why was the early church persecuted? Was it because they believed that Jesus was the Messiah? Well, if you read in Acts, Peter and John are brought before the Sanhedrin. Sanhedrin has got Pharisees and Sadducees. It's 70 elders, and it's a mixture of both of them. Now, the Pharisees were the lay people, and the Sadducees, you see, were the priestly group. And so John and Peter come before them, claiming Jesus as the Messiah, and they say, what should we do with him? And a man named Gamaliel stands up. Now, he's a teacher of the law. He's a person that everybody has got a lot of respect for. He said, now look, and he names three people among about 10 others that were known at that time who claimed to be Messiahs. And they got some folks together, and each one of them were slaughtered by the Roman Empire, by the Roman authorities. He said, now, if these two guys are not of the Lord, he basically said, let Rome kill them. And if it is, we might be found opposing God's Messiah. So just let them go. And they beat them, and then they let them go. In other words, they did not persecute Christians because they said Jesus was the Messiah. Now, was it because they said they believed in the resurrection? Several years later, Paul is brought, as he's in prison, brought by Rome to the Sanhedrin to try to figure out why he is there. And in the Sanhedrin, the Sadducees, the priestly group, did not believe in the resurrection. But the Pharisees did believe in the resurrection. So you can just see Paul coming in that Sanhedrin, and he sees some of his old Pharisee friends, and he says, I'm here because I believe in the resurrection. And the Pharisees said, well, we do too. And the Sadducees says, we don't. And they had a big fist fight in the middle of that area, and the Roman centurion had to go in there and grab Paul for it. They're going to rip him apart. But you see, it wasn't being persecuted because he believed in the resurrection. So what was that early church being persecuted for? And read about Stephen. Stephen was a Hellenist. That means he was a Greek who became a Jew with the law and circumcision and then received the Holy Spirit. And he is brought before the Sanhedrin, and the charge against him was that he was speaking against the temple and against the law. Not the laws, but the law. And see, the Jewish people at that time believed that God was in the temple, and all sacrifices were done in the temple. There was nothing done out there in Jericho or someplace else. It was all right there in the temple. So if you wanted to get in God's presence, you had to go in the temple. And the catch 22 was, you had to be a Jew to get in. So you had to follow the law and be circumcised to get in the temple so you could get into God's presence. Now, Stephen had recognized his Holy Spirit experience as an experience of grace. And it was not, you see, conditional based on the grace, and it was inclusive, not exclusive, in terms of barring people from getting in there. He said, my experience basically is that I am filled with the Spirit, and I got that not because I followed the law. I got it by grace, unconditionally. And I can get into God's presence anytime, any place, and under any circumstances. It is for all people. And they were so furious with him, they grabbed him, and of course they stoned him. Now, if you read chapter 8 of the book of Acts, it says, after Stephen's stoning, there was a persecution on all Christians in Jerusalem. And they were spread out throughout all the regions. And then it adds, the apostles stayed in Jerusalem. Why did the apostles stay in Jerusalem? Because they disagreed with Stephen and they agreed with the legalistic Jewish group that believed you had to follow the law, be circumcised, so that you could then get into God's presence and receive the Spirit. And you see, the apostles were working on what you would call chronos time. And in Greek, there's two words for time. One is chronos and one is kairos. Chronos is chronological time. Kairos is sort of a nebulous kind of time that we've hold on to when we say that's God's timing. You don't really know when it's going to happen. God's timing. And so the apostles working on chronos time, that, and you and I do this all the time, this is called legalism. When we work on chronos time, what it means is we're trying to get something done, and boy, when we get it done, will we be happy? But we can't be happy till we get it done. And if we don't get it done, we can't be happy because we didn't get it done. If we get it done, we're happy, but we got to get it done so we can be happy. That's the kind of mentality of chronos time. Now, people that are working in God's presence of His peace, love, and joy, they can be happy when it gets done, but they can be having the joy of the Lord while they're doing it. And if it doesn't get done, they can still be in the joy of the Lord. It's a scientific fact that when people are in God's peace, love, and joy, when they're doing something, they will be more peaceful doing it. They'll be able to do it better, accomplish more, and be more happy when they get it done and while they're doing it, no matter what. And people who are not in God's presence, feeling insecure, unloved, unhappy, driven, frustrated, those folks will get less done. And so by being in God's peace makes a difference. And some people might think, well, you know, if you're in God's peace, you're not getting anything done. Not so. It's a choice of if you're going to do it, you're going to do it in Kairos time and God's timing. Because, you see, God's timing is not some future moment. God's timing is always now. Jesus says, now is the time. The now part is, now is the time to be in God's presence. Everybody here in church right now is our time to just open our heart, be in God's presence, and see the difference that can make in our lives. And so you can make plans. It's great to make plans, but as we're making them, get in God's presence, make those plans, and stay in God's presence, and it'll make a big difference. Now, it's interesting that as the apostles were in Chronos time, choosing their bishop, that God was in Kairos time, and God's timing was entirely different. And you can recognize that. I want to say being here at Trinity has been just a great joy for me. I've enjoyed my time here. I'm enjoying my time as long as I stay. And when I go, it'll always be a great moment for me, and just being here for you that time. But you have to realize, staying in God's grace still, I got here in August, and I figured, you know, in 4 months you'd have your rector, and I'd be out of here for Advent. And was I surprised? But I knew you'd have been called the rector before Epiphany. And, of course, I had to get Epiphany program coming up. And I couldn't believe I'd be here for Lent. And I knew I wouldn't be here for Easter. And then for Pentecost, I began writing a program for the new rector so they'd have something to do when they came here. And here we are. But you see, the great heroes of this time is this community, that you really have been operating on Kairos time and not Chronos. Because if you're working on Chronos time, you'd be badgering everybody, upset, unhappy, frustrated, because we got to get that rector any minute now. But by working on Kairos time, this calling committee was working on Kairos time, and the vestry's been working on Kairos time. I'm sure poor Chuck has got some people complaining every now and then, and he's done a wonderful job because he stayed in God's presence. And when you stay in Kairos time, the kind of rector that you get is not the one you want. You get the one God wants. And you see, that's what happened with the apostles. They got the one they want, Matthias, who I guess they got one church named after him, but that's about it. But that's not Kairos. See, if someone asks you who the 12th apostle is, you tell them it's St. Paul. St. Paul is the apostle God chose for the 12th apostle. It wasn't Matthias. But working on Kairos time is so much different because you get the one that God wants. And that's my prayer, that as the vestry is working in this area, we just keep on lifting them up in prayer as we do it every Sunday morning, and just wait on God to see who God wants to have, because that's the one all of us really want to have. Amen? Now, as we start, with graduates. I'd like to have a time of prayer for our graduates. And I'd like to have our graduates stand up, and also anybody else who would like to stand in proxy for someone, for a graduate, let's you stand up too. And if no one stands up, we'll all stand up, all right? But let's have a few folks standing up here that they're involved in any kind of graduation, and we're going to pray for you. If you know someone you want to stand up for them, do that. Just kind of put your hands out and bless them. Thank you, Father, for wonderful endings and great new beginnings. As our graduates go on their way, hold them in your hand in all they do. May your Spirit keep them safe and give them your peace. Grant them faith and courage to put purpose in their daily life. And may they ever be aware that knowledge comes from learning and wisdom comes from you. In Jesus' name.